What's going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieved stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to hang out with Jade Lamacq over Zoom video. Jade was born and raised in Vancouver, Canada, was born actually on Vancouver Island, lived there till 10, and then Jade moved to Vancouver. Prior to moving, she lived in a house with their entire extended family. So Jade lived there with aunts and uncles and cousins, her parents and siblings, and a very tight-knit home. Jade talks about getting into music, performing karaoke with her cousins and her siblings, starting to write songs in sixth grade. Santa Claus brought her a piano. And when she was in middle school, she started to learn piano and write her own songs. Jade talks about the success she's had on TikTok, how she was able to convert people from the app to then listening to her first song she ever released on Spotify called Constellations, which has like 18 million streams now. She talked about the success of her other releases, all about her brand new song, which is called Meet You in Hell, and the debut EP that Jade has coming out as well. You can watch our interview with Jade on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it'd be incredible if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Jade Lamacq. Hey, Jade, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited.
Awesome. So this is a podcast about you and your journey in music, and we'll talk about the new song and the music video and everything you have going on.
All right, perfect.
Sweet. So talk to me first. Born and raised Vancouver. Is that what I saw?
Yeah, I was actually born on Vancouver Island and moved to Vancouver when I was around 10 years old. But yeah, the same area, born and raised there.
What's it like? Like, what's the difference? I'm so unfamiliar with like pretty much everything but as far as geography Canada. Goes. But when it comes to Canada, like Vancouver Island, how big is that? Like, how many people are on the island? Like, how far away is that from actual Vancouver mainland?
Yeah, it's an hour and a half ferry ride.
Oh, wow. So it's not that close.
No, not very close, but like not. Yeah, definitely not super close, but it's pretty big. There's like a lot of cities on it. I'm guessing maybe around a million.
So it's massive. It's not island on there.
No, it's the capital. Victoria is the capital of British Columbia.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I like learned that in fifth grade. I'm not 100% sure though.
Yeah, but obviously not an important of information. Yeah, that's cool. That's so cool. So on this, you lived there until you were 10 and then you moved into Vancouver itself.
Yeah.
Okay. So growing up, tell me about growing up there.
Honestly, it was a big change because living in Victoria first, that's where all my family is. And I grew up with my family. We all lived in the same house with my cousins and my uncles and aunts and everything.
Oh,
so
wow.
So then moving with just my direct family, it was definitely like a change. And then just the people around also were a lot different. And there's a lot of more cultures that I was, you know, brought to. Like, I didn't really have a lot of friends from Iran, but once I got to Vancouver, I became friends with a lot of people from Iran, different parts of Asia. Just, it was like a variety of different races. And it was, I think, like, I'm really glad that that happened, honestly, because it opened my whole world up and I met some amazing people.
Wow, that's incredible. And then growing up in a household, I mean, prior to moving with a lot of your family members, what was that? I mean, that's really awesome. What was that like?
It was honestly the best. I absolutely loved it because the cousins were all 1 year apart. I have an older brother who's 2 years older then a guy cousin who's just a year older than me, and then my younger cousin. And we actually had three younger girl cousins, so they're all the same age. So we're all super tight, super close in age. So it was just like chaotic around the house all the time, and you know, the sleepovers and everything. And my whole family, we're all just very, very tight. So it was honestly the best. And it kind of, that's where my music all started. We would all form a little band and perform for the family or whatever. Yeah. So that house is definitely where it all started.
Amazing. And what got you into music? Were your cousins or your brother, were they into music as well? And you kind of just followed suit, or did you find it on your own? Or
yeah, I mean, my family has always like loved music. They're not very creative with music, but they're definitely a fan of it. And I guess I kind of just was that little kid that had the dream of being a singer, you know, lots mm-hmm. of kids do. And I ended up just pursuing it. And Santa got me, you know, a lot like a piano and a guitar and a microphone, which definitely pushed me into thinking like, oh, I could really do this, because I had like equipment to do so. But yeah, with the cousins and everything, being able to just like do karaoke with them and everything, it was definitely mm-hmm. it was definitely something that I think like was a big thing for me that started it all.
With how old are you when you got the piano? You said piano and a guitar.
Mm-hmm. I think it was an electric guitar, funny enough. So I definitely wasn't playing that at all. But the piano I got, I think I was probably like eight.
Wow.
Nine, yeah. It was like, it wasn't like a piano, grand piano or anything, but it was definitely
like a keyboard, or
it was kind of like a keyboard, but it wasn't like a, I don't know how to explain it, to be honest. It was
that's fine.
Better than a keyboard, but not like a grand piano or anything like that.
Sure.
But it was, I still use it to this day, actually. I didn't use it for years because I didn't know how to play and I wasn't put in any lessons or anything. And then once I started teaching myself, I was like, oh my God, why am I not using this thing? Because it's amazing. So I still use it to this day. And I write most of my songs on it, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Like, and that same piano that Santa brought.
That exact piano. That's where I write most of my songs.
That's really cool. And when did you start to learn how to play the piano? Was it much later down the line, or?
Yeah. I mean, I got another little keyboard because once I moved to Vancouver, my dad stayed in Vancouver Island.
Mm-hmm.
And for my, I think it was my grade 6th birthday, so I was around 12 or 13, he got me a keyboard for my birthday, and just, you know, one that'll do the trick. And I just had it in my room, and I was like, I rewrote Stay by Rihanna, and that's when I realized I could write songs. So I thought, I want to try writing my own songs. And I just taught myself some easy chords on the piano, whatever sounded good to my ears, mm-hmm. and then started writing some really bad songs until they started getting better.
And that started when you were that young, sixth grade, huh?
Yeah, sixth grade.
Wow. So prior to that, it was just singing with the family, and you get the piano and you didn't really take too much to it until you moved to Vancouver and got the one from your dad.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, so after you kind of write that first song, or, you know, rearrange Stay by Rihanna, was it like, oh man, this is what I really want to do? Like, was there like a light bulb that kind of clicked at that moment?
It always was no question that music is what I wanted to do, honestly. Okay. There was no question about it. When I was younger, I'd picture myself performing, and, you know, I was like, this is what I'm doing, and I didn't doubt it at all. And luckily, my whole family has always been incredibly supportive. So I had no doubt in my mind that that's what I was going to do. And then beginning to write songs is when I was like, oh, like, it really hit me that this is like, I can actually do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just kept writing, and I would show people, and they would be very supportive of it, which just pushed me to be better. And
yeah, was that hard? I mean, obviously you need to get some validation early on to continue. Like, if people were like, oh, this sucks or whatever, you probably wouldn't keep going with it. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so when you were actually, you had the confidence to show people the songs you were writing, that's huge.
Yeah, totally. And It was great to get that support and everything. And I ended up getting a guitar, I think like a year or two later. So I taught myself some chords on there, and it was just another instrument that I could write with. And it would even get to the point where I'd bring my guitar to school and leave it there. And I'd be writing and singing during lunchtime, and I'd sing for the talent shows. I had somebody ask me to write a song for them to sing at the talent show, because they wanted to sing about their specific situation. So I was like, yeah, okay. And I did it. And yeah, it was definitely, I was definitely known as like the singer at when with my friend group and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I just would not stop singing. My friends would get very annoyed, actually. But yeah.
Obviously, for somebody to come up and say, hey, can you write a song for me to sing at the talent show? That's awesome.
Yeah. No, it was great. I really thought I was like the coolest ever, to be honest.
Right. Yeah. That's how old were you when that happened? Were you still in middle school, or were
I think I was grade 7 at the time.
Wow. So that was quick into your writing career.
Yeah, it was, yep, early on in there. And then in grade 8, I actually got two features on some EDM songs. One of them was with my dad's friends, and they just played me a track, and I listened to it, and I started jamming over it, thinking, I was like, if I do something cool, they're going to want me on it. So I did it, and they did want me on it, which was funny enough. And then, my dad had a connection with this other guy, and I ended up doing it with him as well. And that got picked up by an EDM label, I think, called Monster Cat.
Mm-hmm. I actually heard of that label. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was in 8th grade thinking I was the coolest person ever, because my song was getting released on Spotify and iTunes. And like, as a kid, getting those songs out there on actual platforms was like insane.
Wow. Yeah. That's so cool. That is so cool. Was your dad in the music industry, or is he in the industry, or is it just friends of his?
Just some friends of his. Yeah. He's like a B-boy. He would break dance and all that stuff. Super into
it. Oh, that's cool.
So he has like a lot of friends in the industry and everything. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So once you get your voice on this song, or these songs that make it on Spotify and everything else, like, that must have been obviously from that point on, were you like, okay, this is working? Like, were you able to see seeing the streams and like see your name literally on like a play or like on Spotify or on iTunes? That must have been big.
Yeah. Oh, it was huge. I felt on top of the world. I felt so cool. And then I ended up performing into nightclubs as well. And I was like, I was 14, I think, in nightclubs. I thought I was the shit. I'm not going to lie. And then
I would feel like that was the shit too, if I was 14 and singing in nightclubs and had a song out on a label or two songs on a label. Yeah. Like, that's wild.
That's not even the best part. My grade 8 teacher and like a few of the teachers came to the nightclub, like front row, watched me perform like a 3-minute song. And they were there the whole night just to see me perform. It was the best thing, honestly. I've like that kind of love from teachers really is a special thing for sure.
Yeah, that's so special. What did your friends think? Were they supportive, or other people at the school? Or
Okay,
that's cool.
Super supportive.
100%. No haters?
Not a lot. Not that I know of. But I mean, my close friends, they will tell me if like I'm stupid, you know what I mean? That song is horrible, and I appreciate it because I trust my best friends the most because they're so close to me. They will tell me the truth, mm-hmm. but and they get sick of me faster than people that I'm not super close with. So I let them off the hook with that kind of stuff. But
For sure.
A lot of people, they've all been very, very supportive.
Were you releasing your own songs? Like, once you get those couple cuts on these EDM songs, did you have your own music as well that you were putting out, or were they songs that you hadn't released? Or
I was just writing.
Okay.
I wasn't recording anything. I didn't know how to. I didn't know how to produce. I tried producing, went horribly, did not sound good. But yeah, it was all just writing and learning, and that was it until TikTok happened.
Oh, and that's what really started. I mean, obviously you have a huge fan, not only on TikTok, but like on all your social media, but was like, how did TikTok really start to take off for you? And was that with you just putting songs up on there?
It actually started off with me just being like posting comedic things and stuff. Oh, like
interesting.
That. It was very, very TikTokery.
Was that in like what year was this? I'm just curious.
I started in 2019.
Okay.
Yeah, I started in 2019 and I posted, it sounds very cliche, but I started as a joke because my best friend at the time was super into it and wanted to blow up on TikTok. So I was like, I'm going to do it.
Was it TikTok at this point or was it like Musical.ly?
Yeah, it was TikTok. Because okay. I had Musical.ly and then it Musical.ly stopped. And then TikTok came back and I was like, that's so cringy. Why are people downloading this again?
Yeah.
And then I ended up downloading it. And then the first video I got started getting like some decent amount of views and all my friends started seeing it. So I deleted it so quick, but I had a few hundred followers because of that video. And then I posted another one and it did all
right. So the video is doing well and you didn't want people to see it.
It was like the cringiest fuckboy dance. So I was like, it was a complete joke and it was so cringy that I was like, there's no way people are seeing this right now. So I took it down after I gained like a couple hundred followers. And then a day or two later, I posted another TikTok where it was more of like a comedic kind of TikTok. And that one got like over a million views and I just gained like 10,000 followers or something like that. So, and then I was So I kept rolling with it.
Of course. Like, what was it like to see that number? Like, was it really quick when it was happening? Did you just throw this video up and then it's like overnight it's going wild? That's so crazy.
I'm very grateful and super lucky. I never really went through the stage of not having those followers. I just gained them so quickly. I didn't realize that it was very rare, to be honest. It wasn't something I was expecting whatsoever. It blew up and I gained like 10,000 or something followers, 20,000 followers. And then I just kept posting and posting. And the next thing you know, and I was very open about being a part of the LGBTQ community as well on there. And so that was some stuff that I was posting. I tried to incorporate like a cover every here and there because I wanted people to know that I did do music. Because in my head, I kind of was thinking the strategy could be like gaining a fan base and then converting it into music.
Yeah.
My goal has always been to be a musician, not to be like
a TikTok,
social media.
Right.
That's never been my cup of tea, but I knew that it was an amazing way to get into the industry and everything like that. So once I hit 40K, I actually called up my dad and I had to come out to him because I was like, at this point, people are like posting me and tagging me on Instagram. So he's going to find out either way. So I told him.
Oh, he didn't know.
No, he didn't know. And I'm over here telling thousands of people, you know, which was so funny. So I was like, I think it's time that he knows. So I told him. And then
was that part had to be a was that a tough conversation or did you just kind of, did you know it wouldn't be that big of a deal or?
No, I knew he was going to be okay with it. It was definitely like, I'm very bad at being vulnerable. So I'm very bad at having serious conversations. Uh-huh. So I think that part was definitely scary. And it came as a shock at first for him, which is okay. But he was totally very supportive, very loving. So I'm very, very grateful for that. And then we just ended up talking strategy, to be honest, about how it'll be good to get in the music industry. So we kind of had the same mindset.
And yeah.
It's
interesting that you said that you're, it's hard for you to be vulnerable because you were going on, not only you were going on this app and, you know, being vulnerable to thousands, you have this huge fan base at this point, or even then, I mean, 20, 30,000 followers. And then also the lyrics that you write, like the songs that you write are really vulnerable as well. Is that, do you feel like it's easier for you to just write it out or just put it out than?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I can't talk about it with, I'm like one-on-one or with, you know, like a small group of people. I cannot talk about my feelings. I'm the worst. I've even tried therapy and it's just, I'll start cracking dad jokes. Like there's no me getting at things out. So writing songs is definitely like a way that I can express how I feel and let people know how I feel. So that's kind of like with my girlfriend and I, that's kind of like my love language. I'll write her song, you know, because I don't know how else to express it. That's just my way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're kind of incorporating, you're building this fan base obviously on TikTok, and then you're kind of incorporating covers in there. And then do you start incorporating your own songs to see how that might work?
Yeah, no, yeah, totally. I think I posted like a cover every here and there, and I had one cover that was doing pretty well, but nothing really happened with that. And then it wasn't till summer 2020 mm-hmm. where I posted a cover of The Village. Couldn't tell you who it was by, or maybe that's who it's by. I don't know, but I posted a cover of this amazing song and it blew up. And that's when I started getting messages from labels and other people in the industry. And I got asked to record some demos, and that's what happened. And everything, I met my producer, and everything kind of just took off from there. And I met my amazing team, which uh-huh. was during COVID and everything, which was insane. And I'm super lucky and grateful because everything just fell together so perfectly, honestly.
Yeah, but it was a cover song that did well, and then people are reaching out to you. It must be so helpful, obviously, to be like, yeah, but I also write my own songs, right? Instead of they're like, oh, this person can sing or they can perform and they have this platform. But it's like, yeah, I do, but I also can bring this to the table. That must have been such a game changer for the people reaching out too.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It was definitely something that I honestly take pride mostly in my songwriting. Mm-hmm. Like, I think my singing, it's decent and everything.
Good.
I know I could be a lot better at that, you know, and I know there's people that are way better than me, which is, you know, I'm totally aware of, but songwriting is something that I take a lot of pride in. It's just, my songs are like my babies, honestly. So yeah, having that in my pocket was definitely great for me. And
yeah,
it worked out. Well,
and then coming out, it was Constellations, your first song that you released.
Yeah.
Your first original song.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And then coming out the gate with that one.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have went two different ways, right? Especially with TikTok, and not even with TikTok, but people, like, you're like, okay, I'm doing these covers and I did this cover that did really well. And now I'm presenting my own song, which was that hard to do? I mean, to have a big fan base of people that are used to seeing one thing, but then to be like, and then here's my original, but obviously it killed it.
Yeah, I think it was something I was definitely concerned that I wouldn't be able to convert it over, because mm-hmm. I knew so many people were following me because of, you know, my like comedic videos, or because I'm part of the LGBTQ or fashion, or just mm-hmm. because my looks, you know, like I never knew if it was going to be able to convert. And I posted my first video of it. I was just like, can I just show them the song and see how it reacts? And it ended up reacting very well. And I was very, very happy about that, because it was kind of like just like a taste of reassurance that I needed, you know, mm-hmm. because at that point I was kind of worried, but it was definitely very reassuring.
Yeah, because it is hard, from what I've heard, to get people to leave an app. Like, they have to leave TikTok, which is just constantly like,
yeah,
stimulating them, like, oh, here's a video, here's this and this, to leave it and then go on to Spotify or whatever to then listen to the whole song there. And not only that, I mean, the song has nearly 18 million streams on it, which is so wild to think. I mean, you have a ton of followers on TikTok, and it's like 18 times that, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's crazy.
It's crazy, 100%. Yeah. And like, even to see the monthly followers, at one point I had reached 1 million monthly followers, and I was like, that's a million whole separate people. That's like a lot of people, you know? So my mind was definitely blown at the beginning, 100%. It was... And at this, like, again, I'm just very lucky and very grateful for everything that happened. Cause when I tell you, everything that happened really just went perfectly, and it's out of the ordinary, that's for sure. And it worked very well in my favor, which I'm grateful for. Yeah.
And you've continually put out songs and they are all doing well. It wasn't like you had, you know, this fluke moment with that one song. I mean, they all have been performing really, really well. You know, that should be validation again there that you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Or we should be doing what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely reassuring and it's great. And it's exciting, honestly. It's the adrenaline you get from releasing a song is honestly one of my favorite feelings, to be honest. Just finally being able to release it after working on it for months and months and wanting to show everybody and not being able to show people, and then finally being able to show people, it's a very fun feeling, honestly. Mm-hmm.
And you
but
just
nerve-wracking.
Oh yeah, I bet, because you've been working, like you said, you've been working on this for a long time, and then you could put it out and maybe it won't do. I mean, you haven't had that experience yet, but like, yeah, there's probably always that thought, like, is it going to do well? Mm-hmm. Are people going to like it?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, tell me about the new one. Meet You in Hell is the new song that you just released. And I watched the video, which is rad as well. So tell me about that. And I think I saw it's going to be part of a bigger project that you have coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So Meet You in Hell, it's a song about kind of like karma and giving your ex a taste of their own medicine when they treated you badly, that kind of bad bitch kind of vibe.
Yeah, I love it.
Wrote it on the piano that Santa gave me.
And oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I just started off with Meet You in Hell. And I thought that was such a dope title, and that I kind of just used my imagination and made a whole story up in my head and put myself in that person's shoes and wrote a song about it. And Meet You in Hell came out, and I loved it personally. I thought it was such a dope idea. And then being able to film a video where it was so cool. And like the wardrobe, it fits so well with the colors and the theme and the sets and everything like that. It was so much fun to create. It really was.
Yeah. The stack of the video is really cool. I mean, it looks really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was very, very fun to film.
So when you put now that you brought up the piano, because I was going to ask you about this, and I just remembered. So you have a couple songs on your Spotify that are piano versions, like Constellations and Aim to Kill. I think you have a piano version of that. Are those played, and were all those songs written on that same piano as well?
Constellations I had written originally on guitar.
Oh, okay. Because there's a piano version on your Spotify as well.
Yeah, and just the original is actually with piano in the background. It was something that I needed to do for the demos. It was one of my original demos that I had to make. And the demos were all supposed to be on guitar and acoustic. So I had written it on guitar at first, just like some easy, simple, dimple chords. And then we just transferred them over to piano because I personally like piano more than I like guitar.
So do I. It's like such a beautiful instrument.
I agree. So yeah, piano is definitely my favorite, my cup of tea, but love guitar too. It does the trick. It does the trick.
Okay. But did you write aside from that one, were any of the other ones written on that piano, or was this your first one with Meet You in Hell?
Aim to Kill was written on that piano. Same Place and Let Me.
Constellation is the only one that you didn't write on that piano.
Yeah, it's either that piano or a guitar. And these ones have all been piano. I have little phases. I have piano phases and then I have guitar phases. Okay. Clearly, I was in a piano phase.
Yeah, for a bit, yeah. And I saw you have this beautiful billboard up is that in Toronto?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It's so sick, honestly.
I couldn't even imagine seeing that. Like, what was cool? I mean, that must have been up there with getting the million views on that first video.
Yeah, seeing my face on a billboard in Toronto was definitely mind-blowing. I wish I was able to see it in person. I wasn't able to see it in person, unfortunately. But just seeing a picture of my face so big was like the craziest thing. And then my friend's reactions as well was just like, when they're mind blown, when they're excited for me, I know I should be very excited, because with them, they're very just chill about everything that I do. But once that happened and they were like, holy shit, I was like, right. Oh, okay. It's like, yeah. It gave me like reassurance that I can be even more excited than like I really am showing, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was crazy. And my mom was like, my mom's my best friend. And she was just like, oh my God, super excited for me. Brags about me all the time. I need to shut her up sometimes because she's embarrassing. That's for sure. She's the mom that like yells, I love you, when dropping you off at school.
Yeah, that's funny. Are you still going to university now or no?
No.
Okay. I'm not
the school type personally.
I wouldn't either. Yeah. Like, check out this billboard. Exactly. I feel like stuff like the billboard, or like I've talked to other artists that have had, you know, get nominations for, you know, different awards. It's like, those are the things that the parents, like, they don't probably understand the million follower thing as much as like, and there's this, you know, the billboard, like that's just like this. I had an interview with somebody and they were talking about being, you know, they're on the cover of different magazines and this and that other thing. And like the big moment for them was when they were in the local paper, their parents like, whoa, see, like my kid's in the local paper. It's something that was more like, it's just funny to think of those things.
Yeah. There's some certain things that are really like, oh shit. Like,
right.
Yeah. It's like real, you know? And yeah. Luckily my parents honestly have always been like, you don't need to go. They've never been the type, because honestly, a lot of my family didn't go to university. My family is very odd, to be honest, but I love them and they're super supportive of me. They knew from the beginning. Honestly, I think they knew before I knew that I was going to be doing music. My mom has always known, my dad has always known, and they've always been like, you don't have to go to
That's
university.
That's so cool.
They've actually pushed me not to go there, because they've always just pushed me to do music and everything. So it's been great. Very lovely.
Yeah. Very lucky. Not a lot of people have that, that type of support. That's so cool. 100%.
I'm very, very lucky.
So do you have like an EP or anything you're working on?
Yes, I do. Actually, I have an EP I'm working on. I'm very excited about that. I'm just very excited, honestly. It's like my first little project, you know?
Yeah.
And it's exciting.
Do you have any, I don't know if you can share any details, but like, do you kind of have an idea of what will any of the songs that you've already released make it on there, or it's just all new stuff coming?
Some of my, the other songs are going to be on there. Yeah. Cool. But you know, I'm continuing to write every day. So I'm excited for what's to come with the EP and past that. But
amazing. Well, thank you so much, Jade, for doing this today. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I have one more question for you before I let you go. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
I say dream big. As cheesy as that sounds, dreaming big and believing in yourself is the key to moving forward, because if I didn't dream big and if I didn't believe in myself, I don't think I would be here right now. So doing that, being a little bit narcissistic can be good sometimes. Really can be. And